Here's the latest from Canadian lawyer, Law Times, and Lexpert on March 3rd, 2023. I'm Steve Randall. The Law Society of Ontario has released the full list of candidates running in the 2023 Bencher elections, with two factions vying for control of convocation. The deadline for voting is April 28th. First up, Law Times heard from the Full Stop slate, which is presenting itself as representatives of the rank and file and the alternative to an arrogant, wasteful, and dictatorial establishment. This Bencher election is a contest between two slates with radically different visions. Full Stop candidate Lisa Bildy told Law Times in an emailed statement, "The big government slate represents the establishment. It believes that the Law Society should be a political regulator. Its candidates are committed to making the Law Society a woke institution. They insist the legal profession in Ontario is systemically racist. They expect lawyers to toe an ideological line to be permitted to practice law. The big governance folks approve of the path the Law Society has been on and want to proceed without opposition. We will restore the Law Society to its core mandate of regulating competence and ethical practice. We will rationalise the budget and reduce its outrageous burden on its members. Full Stop seeks to depoliticise the Law Society." Good Governance Coalition member Atricia Lewis also spoke with Law Times. She is an incumbent Law Society of Ontario bencher, member of and a partner in McCarthy Tetreault's litigation group in Toronto. She told Law Times why the 2023 Bencher elections should matter to voters.
"I think self-regulation is at stake. We take self-regulation for granted because we've been self-regulated for a long time. But I think we shouldn't take that for granted, and it's very much at stake. And I think, frankly, a lot hasn't gotten done in the last 4 years. Convocation was divided, the atmosphere was hostile, and so I think it's important that we restore the Law Society to a place where there can be respectful debate and actual work being done on important issues."
The most effective way to protect your practice from malicious actors online is a simple but often overlooked rule: don't recycle your passwords. With more than 150,000 subscribers worldwide, software engineers at Clio often have first-hand visibility of security breaches and attempts that their clients experience. These attempted breaches at the cloud-based practice management platform can be excessive login attempts where a hacker has identified that a particular email address is attached to a Clio account and is applying brute force to try and crack it open. This often happens when a Clio subscriber has a user ID or password that overlaps with another service. Clio is seeing a rise in lawyer-specific phishing attempts. These attacks use plausible messaging to corral employees. Once firms' email systems are vulnerable, this can then compromise their cloud services. Legal vendors need to invest in security and be transparent about the nature of those services, because lawyers' ethical standards require them to know the security that is available or unavailable and the shared roles and responsibilities. Joshua Lennon, Clio's lawyer in residence, says that phishing is the biggest source of cyber attacks in the legal industry. But while email is the big weak link, all communication channels are a potential risk, he says. There's more texting between lawyers, and they need to maintain the same vigilance because text messaging is a potential vector for malware, he says. Transparency is essential for employers who want to increase their use of monitoring technology in the workplace, says Andrea York, a partner with Blake Castles and Graydon LLP. York deals with clients who are considering electronic monitoring and why they feel they need to do it.
"I think the key is just considering whether the proposed monitoring is reasonable. So I typically advise that they should be asking questions like, you know, do you have a cybersecurity concern? Is the workplace productivity noticeably down? And, you know, will the monitoring help remedy that security concern or the reduction to productivity?" So once they've decided to implement a program, then they need to advise employees.
York will be one of the featured speakers at Canadian Lawyers' Employment Law Masterclass on April 25th. After starting his career in private practice in St. John's, Michael Ladar made the move in-house in 2015, initially at Nalcor Energy, before transferring to Newfoundland and Labrador Hydro in 2016. He rapidly climbed the ranks, earning the title of Chief Legal Officer and Corporate Secretary in 2021. Joining the executive team at the age of 39 made him one of the youngest members of the executive team in the corporation's history. As such, he maintains an informal approach to leadership.
Even though I'm fairly new in a C-suite position, I think that I am sort of an informal leader. I'm relatively young. Several of my team members and lawyers are actually more experienced than me, but I think that's okay. I don't want them to think, and nor should they, that I am the expert in all areas of the law. I'm here to set the strategy direction, make sure we adhere to the corporate vision, and they are the experts in the different areas of law. So I need to go to them and empower them to continue to be the experts in those specific areas and be integrated into the business and making decisions without having to funnel everything back through me, because I think that's incredibly inefficient.
Canadian lawyer spoke with Benjamin O'Leary, a law professor at the University of Toronto and co-founder of Blue Jay Legal, a legal tech company. Since he co-founded the company in 2015 with U of T law faculty members Anthony Niblett and Albert Yoon, Blue Jay has used artificial intelligence to help answer legal questions. Now the company plans to incorporate the newest AI technology into its platform, chatbots.
In employment law, for example, we have a predictor that will predict, you know, the length of reasonable notice that a judge would likely award in the event that a suit is brought with respect to a particular wrongful dismissal, for example. That gets used a lot because people have fights over the quantum of reasonable notice, and there's an extensive body of case law that we can use as training materials to make that prediction. And that's really successful. In tax law, we have dozens of these predictors right across all different areas of tax law. That's very successful. One of the limitations for Blue Jay technologically up until 2023 has been, okay, we've got all these islands of predictability, but there's a lot of ocean in between and separating all of these islands from each other. And so we haven't been able to provide answers outside of the islands of predictability that we've created. Now, the really exciting possibility is soon going to be a reality of being able to answer virtually any legal question that you have outside of those islands of predictability, whether it's reasonable notice or worker classification, you name it. You're now going to be able to get a very good legal answer from Ask Blue Jay. And if we have an island of predictability, like one of these predictors that is on point, then we can take you to this island of predictability and you can run a very detailed analysis and generate a detailed report on that specific issue.
Jason Madden is a Métis lawyer and legal counsel for the Métis Nation of Alberta, and in the last 20 years has been involved in the litigation that has pushed Métis rights and self-government forward. He says Ottawa will soon table legislation solidifying its recognition of Métis self-government in law.
Canada is going to introduce legislation, we think, in this session of Parliament to, you know, be the legislative anchor for those future treaties, but also, you know, to affirm this recognition in law.
On the face of it, the recent Nova Scotia small claims court case, McKinnon versus McKinnon, would seem significant mainly to the parties involved, settling a dispute over who has the better claim to the family pet following a breakup. But for lawyer, professor and small claims court adjudicator Tuma Young, the case represents a milestone in reflecting the importance of Indigenous culture and language in Canada. The reason? He wrote his decision in Mi'kmaq, with translations into English and French. Young says that by taking the time to translate and publish a court decision in Mi'kmaq, it will demonstrate the importance of incorporating Indigenous legal principles into our system.
By doing it this way, I showed that our Canadian legal systems can and should use Indigenous legal orders in trying to make decisions in that affect people's life, whether it's in a criminal context, family context, or a civil context, that there is a source of law that they can all draw upon in addition to what they've been doing so far. And by doing it this way, then they may be able to come up with a much more fair or much more a decision that's more accepted from everybody's perspective.
Lawyers who work with clients in engaging with First Nations peoples should be armed with tools to help them and their clients facilitate the process, says John Bocage, former Grand Chief of the Union of Ontario Indians and Principal at Council Public Affairs. Canadians and others who are interested in working with Indigenous groups on projects are still on a learning curve, he says. His firm has developed a new training program focused on respectful engagement with Indigenous communities. And he says having specific training in consulting with Indigenous communities can provide a huge leg up in negotiations.
So the lawyers can tell you, you have a high degree or need for consultation in this particular situation. We take it the next step, which is to take it from what the legal obligation might be to the practical. How do we do it? How do we engage with people in a way that is going to allow us to comply with our obligations? And even more important than that, build a relationship.
You'll find the links to these stories in the show notes. And to get the latest CL Talk episodes automatically in your favorite podcast app, just click follow or subscribe.